Let me just ask you some questions. Okay, now understanding that we've already agreed that we're all home folks here, we're going to talk openly, and we're just going to discuss a little bit and then look at what Scripture says. And then I'm going to share with you some things that over the years Billy and I have discovered desperately need to be known between a husband and wife for the wife to be able to fully meet her husband's needs. Okay, let me just start with this question. Okay, who thought up the whole idea of sex? Very good. They'll even be able to hear that one on the tape. Okay. They won't be able to hear you, by the way, on the tape, so you don't have to worry. All right. Is the sexual relationship then something that God ordained?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Is sexual desire something that God placed within us? Yes. Aren't they? Boy, these are toughies, aren't they? All right. If so, then how does God plan to satisfy those sexual desires that He placed within us? Now, you can't do this one yes and no, can you? Okay. So, through marriage, right. Why did God design sex within marriage? Okay, to produce children. What are some other reasons?
Stability of relationship.
To develop stability within that relationship. Fellowship with each other. Okay, a physical illustration of our spiritual bond. Okay, to display that two have become one. What else? Who else? To develop trust between the two. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, to display a balance to our children, especially in today's world, where so much of what they see is not balanced, and it's not a right view of what the sexual relationship is to be. What else?
Enjoyment.
Okay, for enjoyment. Right, for pleasure. Any other thoughts? I want us to look at a couple of verses. If you have your Bible with you, look at Genesis 2. Verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Okay. The word cleave there, Tim mentioned the other night, is a word that means literally to become one. To stick like glue, to be so much one person that they can't be separated. Okay? So it's a picture both of a physical union, but also of an emotional union there. Now look at 1 Corinthians 7. Starting with verse 2. "But because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control." These verses are talking about the physical relationship within marriage. Right? Now, they tell us some things that are very important. First of all, one reason God established this relationship in verse 2
is because of immorality. Right? The verse before that talks about the fact that it would be better for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immorality that God has established the physical relationship within marriage to solve that problem. So let each man have his own wife and each woman have her own husband, so that you can meet each other's needs physically. Goes on in verse 4 and just reminds us of a principle there that is very important that we're going to talk about tonight. The fact that the wife does not have authority over her own body, the husband doesn't have authority over his own body. You are there to meet each other's needs, even in a physical way. Now, I want us to just talk a little bit about those needs tonight, because men and women are so different that they view the sexual relationship very differently. And I know you're aware of this, particularly if you've been married for a long time. But
we're going to just talk about it a little bit tonight. The way they're made up determines how they approach their sexuality. First, we're going to talk a little bit about the woman. What's the basic need of a woman? Do you think? Okay, to be loved, to be touched, to be wanted. All those things are interrelated. Basic need for affection, just to know that she's loved by her husband. That's why a woman has a need, even physically, to be gradually warmed up. You know, in other words, when your husband gets up after dinner and starts doing the dishes, or all of a sudden he's up and he's putting the kids in bed, you begin to have a little inkling of what's going on that night. That's a little clue that he's sending you a message that he may have other plans for after dinner. But a woman needs to be gradually prepared for the sexual encounter. She does much better if she has some time to think in her head, oh, I know what he has in mind for after the news is over. So the woman does not respond really well to cold turkey type sexual encounters with her husband. She does much better if she's prepared for that ahead of time. That's the way she's made up, because she responds to that relationship emotionally, and she wants to know that he desires that from her because he loves her. It's an emotional need in her. Now, the woman is also different in that when her needs are met physically, she can generally walk through her day without being bombarded by sexual thoughts. Okay. You and I generally do not have a great deal of trouble. If our needs are being met physically by our husbands, we don't have a lot of trouble just being constantly stimulated and bombarded by what we see or what we hear. Our men are not like that. They do have difficulty, even when their needs are met, by being bombarded with thoughts from the enemy. So that's another way in which we're different. Now, where does our ability to respond to our husband sexually come from? What are some ways that we can learn to respond sexually in the right way to our husbands? Any thoughts? Okay. Honestly, teach him our needs. Make him aware of our needs. All right. What if you have difficulty responding to your husband? What can you do? Pardon? Okay, talk to him about it. What else? Cry. Okay. Cry. Sometimes that definitely will get his attention enough so that he may listen when you express your needs. What else can you do?
Pray.
Pray about it. Where does the right kind of love for our husbands, if we're having difficulty loving our husbands even physically, where can we obtain the right kind of love for him? Okay. Remember we talked the other night about that agape love that comes from God, that always responds in self-sacrifice. Sometimes even the physical relationship is a sacrifice. I mean, if you are exhausted and your plans for after the news were totally different from your husband's, like sleep, the physical relationship responding to him in that way may be a sacrifice for you that night. Okay, admit our need. What happens when we obey the Lord? What does it bring to our life?
Blessing.
Many, many times when we don't feel like responding physically to our husbands, if we will just take the first step of obedience, the Lord will bless it. And you may end up feeling like it after all. But sometimes it takes that initial step of obedience in responding to him. Now, that's a choice that you make, isn't it? Just like you choose in any realm of life whether or not to respond in the right way, responding to our husbands physically is a choice that we make. Okay? So we do have the ability to choose to respond in the right way. Now, understand that there are many situations that might make it more difficult for some women to respond to their husbands than others. All of our husbands are different. Our husbands may not treat us all the same way. Okay, you may have had issues in your past that make it difficult to respond in the right way to your husband. I would say honesty is one of the greatest things you can do for your relationship. Find a godly older woman to talk to. You might warn her in advance that you're going to agree together not to be embarrassed. But find a woman that you know has a right perspective on the physical relationship according to God's word and ask her for advice. She may just be a little further down the road than you are and have some things that will help you just practically to respond in the right way to your husband. If there are issues in your past, it may help to get those cleared up. Maybe you've done that in the last 2 weeks, and that will help you be able to respond more freely to your husband. All right? So I understand that there are different situations, and some home situations make it much more difficult. So I'm not saying just blanket across the board
that it's always easy to respond in the right way. But if you can't respond in the right way to your husband, get some help,
okay? Not from a secular counselor, but from a godly one. And we're going to talk about why that's so critical, right? And I think when we talk a little bit about our husbands, you'll understand why it's so critical to get to the point where you can respond in the right way to him to meet his needs. What do you suppose is the basic need of a man? Okay.
Security.
Security in a form, right? What else? Okay. Love. He needs love. Okay, to be gratified. Do you know really, they tell us the basic need of a man more than anything else is for respect and admiration. Now, security may come into that, love may come into that, but those are his basic needs, respect and admiration in a home. So what happens when a wife consistently rejects her husband physically in a home? Every time he tries to initiate a sexual relationship with her, he meets with rejection. What do you suppose happens to his self-respect or to his need to feel admired? It takes a nosedive, doesn't it? Because those are things that are built into a man's chemistry. It's a threat to his ego. He sees it as a blow to his character. You may not intend it that way, but that's the way it will be received by your husband, is as a blow to his character, as an indication of your true feelings for him. Whether or not you intend for that to be what it is, that's how he's going to perceive it when you reject him. The man physically is geared differently in his sexual makeup. We all know that. If we're married, we're bound to know that by now. But a man's desires are very different from a woman's. We said a minute ago that they're God-given. There's something that God has given to him, but they're a little different from the desires God has given us. Okay? It's not just that he decided to need sex, and maybe to need it often. That is the way God made him. God has given him those desires. Now, I want to just paint a little picture in your minds here that'll maybe help you understand what your husbands encounter on a daily basis. Here's man A over here. I was going to give them names, but then I thought, oh, that'll be somebody's husband. So man, Mr. A, over here, leaves his home in the morning, says goodbye to his wife. On his way to work, he drives past 20 billboards with women in bikinis on them, or worse. he stops to get a cup of coffee at a newsstand, and there are a bunch of magazines there that even if he chooses not to look at them, at first glance, they leave an impression on his mind.
Okay. He gets to work, and there are several secretaries in mini skirts or work associates bending over to put things in cabinets, and even a man who is a godly, moral man who has chosen to flee temptation cannot help the fleeting darts that are there all around him all day. So man A, at the end of his day, may not even realize how much input has entered his mind that day. But he comes home, all he knows is that he has a sudden desire for his wife that night. Okay? And let's suppose that his wife understands him very well. And she picks up on his signals, and when it's time to go to bed, she's ready to meet his need, and she does. And the next morning, man A gets up, he leaves his house with a clean slate. He may encounter more temptation that day, he may encounter other stimuli, but he is walking out the door with his needs met. Now, let's look at man B. Man B over here leaves his house, encounters the same things on the way to work, encounters the same things at the office or wherever he is, heads home with the same desires, but he walks into his house and gives his wife clues or hints or maybe direct indications of what his desires are, but his wife is mad at him because he didn't take out the trash. Or she's still bugged that they didn't have enough money to buy whatever it was she had in mind that month. Or she's just has not liked him very much anyway for quite a while. And so she, even though she knows that that's what he has in mind, she meets that initiation with rejection. And she lets him know in no uncertain terms, maybe not even verbally. Maybe it's just that she's already gone to bed and turned out the light and is snoring when he comes in the room. But his needs are not met that night. What does he leave the house with the next morning? Okay. He's still got the need he had from Monday, but now he's going to add to it all the things he encounters on Tuesday. Okay. So, what happens to a man in that position? Because of the way a man is geared physically, he cannot ignore for very long the things that happen in his body. There's a literal physical buildup in his body that can't be ignored. Okay? There's a pressure within him that must be dealt with in some way. The only way I could think of, it's kind of like trying to explain pregnancy to my husband. You know, he can't really comprehend. Matter of fact, I've told him many times if it was up to him, we would have no children. But because he would not go through pregnancy this many times. But this may help you a little bit. How many of you ever nursed a baby? Okay. How many of you have ever been at the point where it was time for your baby to eat, but your baby was not there,
And it was going to be a while before you could get someplace where you could nurse that baby. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what that feels like? You can't ignore that for very long. And if you go long enough, the only thought in your mind is, I have got to get to wherever my baby is and feed it or do something about this situation. That may give you an inkling of what your husband goes through when his physical needs are not being met. Okay? That's the only illustration I could even remotely think of to help explain what happens in his body. It's a literal physical need, not just an emotional one, not just something he decides he wants. It is just a physical need that must be met in his body. Now, it's accelerated by what he sees and by the temptations that cross his path, even if he chooses never to dwell on those temptations. You've heard the illustration of temptation is when something walks across your porch and you choose whether or not to open the door and let it in, right? Even if your husband never opens the door, those temptations are going to cross his path, and what happens in his body is going to be accelerated by what enters his mind and his eyes. But even if he was on a desert island with no stimulation and no temptation around him, the same thing would occur physically in his body over a period of time. God just made him that way. Okay? It's a natural part of how God made him. So it's going to happen to him whether he chooses for it to happen or not. He has no control over that. He does control what he looks at, can't ignore the everyday things that come into his life. But that's why God has designed the perfect way for that need to be taken care of for your husband. All right? The perfect person to meet that need is who? Right, the wife. She meets his need both physically and emotionally. It was a real revelation to me when I just realized that I was the only legitimate way for my husband's needs to be met. And that if I did not meet his needs, then they were going to be met in an illegitimate way. Okay? So if that need is not met, let's say man B over here leaves that day carrying the same burden of need, goes through another day, and it's a continuing pattern of his needs not being met. So if that need is not met, a man's need will be met in some way. It's either going to be met on his own through self-abuse or what we might call masturbation. It's either going to be met that way, or it's going to be met by another person physically, okay, in an immoral relationship. Now, those are sobering words, aren't they? To realize that we are the only legitimate way our husband's needs are going to be met. What that tells us is that Scripture says you are God's gift to your husband. He is God's gift to you to meet your needs physically. If we're not meeting each other's needs, then we are aborting what God desires to do in the physical relationship within marriage. Scripture says the marriage bed is undefiled, that it is right before the Lord. It's not something that we need to be ashamed of. It's not something that we need to be afraid of dealing with. It's always going to be a part of our marriage, okay? So what can we do in a day when the world is offering so much bait to our husbands? It's very interesting. Sometime you need to sit down and ask your husband, what are the most difficult things for him to deal with? Okay, if you have an open enough relationship where you can do that, I think you'll be astounded at what he encounters just in a normal day that maybe would never affect you, but it does affect him. So what can we do to help protect our husbands and to protect our marriages from what is going on around us in the world. I think the first thing we can do is that we can meet his needs physically without resentment or without making him feel guilty or foolish because he has a need. Women are very good at communicating without ever opening their mouths. And your husband knows, even if you give in and say, all right, just make it quick. And, you know, your husband knows what your heart attitude is. And even if you don't ever say a word, he knows whether you are there to meet his need or whether you are there feeling like a martyr and that it's your duty, so you're going to do it, but you'd rather be asleep snoring. He knows that. All right? So meeting his needs without resentment, without making him feel guilty for something that God has placed within him. Second thing he can do is establish or at least be open to honesty about this area of need. Your husband may someday want to tell you something about his needs in this area. He may not ever say a word about it. But if he does want to say something about it, or if you feel prompted by the Lord to just ask him, is there some way I could better meet your need? Or how can I help you in this area? Ask the Lord to give you the boldness to do that. You might be surprised. He might faint. But establish or be open to honesty about his needs and about your needs. Okay, I understand that this is a difficult area in many marriages to talk about. It might be easier initially to talk in the dark where he can't see you blushing. Get in a habit of listening to the things that he doesn't say to you. Okay, if he starts talking about a struggle with somebody at work, maybe doesn't even say it's a struggle, but he mentions that so-and-so wears short skirts or tight skirts or whatever the issue is. Pick up on that, okay? Listen to the things he even doesn't say to you. Be aware of what's going on, where his needs may be, okay? Take it before the Lord. Ask the Lord to make you a good listener. Ask for discernment so that if you do see that maybe he's struggling in that area, the Lord can give you discernment to know how to help him or how to approach him about it, how to speak the truth in love to him. It may be that your husband may share with you at some point maybe some indiscretions in his past. There may be a time when a husband will come to you and share a failure morally. He may share with you a struggle that maybe he's been meeting his needs in an illegitimate way and you have never known it. And you've just kind of been relieved that he's left you alone. Okay? If your husband is leaving you alone for very long, his needs are being met some other way. Okay? So if your husband is, you know, you may even have a really good relationship, but there's no relationship physically, that's a clue to you that something is not right. His needs are being met in a way that is not a legitimate way. May not mean an affair. May mean that he's gotten into pornography. Again, I said these are tough issues to talk about, ladies. But literally, that you know, you'd be surprised. Probably 90% of all men at some point in their lives have had a struggle with either pornography or masturbation. 90%. So it's not something uncommon. It's not something unusual. Most men, when they enter the marriage relationship, if their needs are being met, then those struggles end for them. But it's also possible that it takes them a while to shift gears. If you're recently married, it's possible that it'll take your husband a while to realize that he doesn't need an illegitimate way to meet his need, that God has given him the right way to meet his need. If there's been a pattern of rejection established in your marriage, then your husband may have found another way to meet that need. And that may be satisfying him so much so that he doesn't come to you anymore to meet that need. If so, that's a clue that something is not right. So if your husband comes to you and says to you, I have a problem in this area that you've never known about, and I need to ask your forgiveness, I'd like for our relationship to be right, ask God for grace to respond to that in the right way, not making him feel foolish for being honest, appreciating his honesty, forgiving him, okay, and being willing to respond to him as God would respond to him in that situation. God can give you the ability to do that. It also is usually a time that helps you to look at yourself and see where maybe that pattern of rejection started and why he felt like he couldn't come to you anymore in that area. It helps to maintain a sense of humor as you talk about these things. Billy and I tonight were sitting in the living room and all our kids were around the trailer. And we were trying to go over the material that he was going to share with the men, and I was kind of sharing what I was going to share with the ladies, but we were kind of trying to do it in a way that nobody in the house would know what we were talking about. And we finally both just got so tickled. It was so ridiculous because we were either kind of using sign language or we were speaking in terms and hoping that the other one was catching the drift. It just got real funny. Our oldest is 13. We have 13, 11, 8, 5, and 2. But anyway, so we were being very cautious, and we just got real tickled. And we laugh a lot about things like this, which helps a great deal, especially if you tend to blush. It helps to keep a sense of humor. It will make it easier for your husband to share with you his needs, not ever laughing at him. But if he knows that you both recognize that that's a part of your life, okay? This aspect of your life, this part of your marriage, just like Jesus said, the poor are with you always. This part of your marriage is going to be with you always. So we need to learn how to respond in the right way to our husbands. It's a critical part of our marriage. And it's more and more critical as the days become more and more evil. Okay. Trust God for the ability to respond to your husband in the right way, both physically and emotionally. That's not always something that comes naturally to us. It's a choice many, many times that we make just to respond in the right way to them. Another thing you can do, this is really, give your husband visual memories to take with him, okay? Legitimate visual memories that he can take with him. Don't always get undressed in the closet. I told you, y'all, this was going to be interesting. I'm getting very warm up here, by the way. Okay, I don't mean that you have to give him photos to carry in his billfold, but it will help him if during the day he has some memories of the legitimate partner to meet his need to carry around in his mind. So when he sees a billboard with somebody in a bikini, he can replace that image with a legitimate picture. Now some of you are thinking, oh, I need to lose some weight. Okay, but when your husband has a desire to think of a woman's body, let him think of yours. Yours is the body that God has given him. So give him a legitimate way to meet that need. Okay? It will help him, I promise, if you will do that. A man is stimulated visually. He's stimulated visually. So he's going to need to have visual stimulation. It will help him if he has a file of lovely pictures of his wife to carry around with him that he can replace wrong images with. You will be giving him a tool to combat what he faces in the world. As silly as that may sound to you, it will help your husband. All right, another thing you can do is pray for him. All right, Satan would love to destroy your home. He doesn't really care how long it takes, whether it takes a year or 15 years or 50 years. If he can ultimately destroy your home, he would love to do it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, like the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He would love to devour your husband in this area. He would love to dangle the bait. And your husband may not take it this year, but maybe in 10 years or 15 years. That's why we need to be of sober spirit about this area of our lives. It's a critical area in our marriage. We need to be on the alert. If your husband is giving you some signals, okay? If he hasn't come to you and approached you in a sexual way in 4 months, there's something wrong, okay? That's a clue that his needs are being met in an illegitimate way. God may prompt your heart to go to him and just say, "I know this can't be right. Can you tell me what's going on?" He may tell you, he may not, but ask the Lord to make you alert, to keep you sober about this area of life, and to give you discernment. You can pray for your husband's protection during the day, for what he encounters. Okay? Remember that no one is immune to this. None of us are immune to falling into sexual sin. We may think we are, but we're not. If Satan dangled the right bait at the right time, any of us could fall into sexual sin, which is why it's so critical for us to stay alert in this area. And even if it's embarrassing for us to think about, even if it's difficult for you to talk to your husband about this, or even to get undressed with the lights on instead of in the closet with all the lights off, make some choices that will take away that foothold for the enemy in your marriage, because Satan would love to get his foot in there if he could. All right?